And I appreciate Brother Reg, and I knew better. He had told me earlier in the week that, I mean, he had a message, and he told me what it was, and he preached it. And but he kept telling me, he said, I feel subdued. And he had a lot of things on his mind, a lot of stuff going on. And he just kept telling me that. Now, he said, now I'll be subdued. And I said, okay, just whatever. And I knew better. I knew better. And appreciate him, appreciate Brother Chris Pinto, the historical aspect of it. He's the master of that. And he'll find things out that not a lot of us know about. And I really did. This is the God's honest truth. When I heard Chris up in Fargo, he was talking about the Islamic invasion, but he went into a little bit of history, and he showed that picture of Oliver Cromwell, the statue, with a sword in one hand, a Bible in the other. And I didn't know much about British history at that time, so I knew the name Cromwell, but I didn't know exactly what he did. So I went and looked him up and saw some things. But as Chris was talking about that, he mentioned the Second Amendment. And I'm not kidding you. The Holy Ghost said, Mike, that's what I want. And I had been praying about whether I should ask Chris back or not. I mean, I didn't know. I wanted to wait on the Lord. And so when the Holy Ghost said that to me, I went right to him. I said, Chris, you're on this year. Will you come once again to Festus? And I said, I want you to teach them that. The connection between the Word of God and our rights to defend ourselves, rights to defend our family, our property. If you don't like that, and if you've been taught so much socialism, I'm telling you, God gives the individual rights to their own things. And if you don't believe that, there's a commandment that says, thou shalt not steal. And it means that if it's in somebody else's possession, it's not yours. And if you take that, I don't care if you're a thief or a governor or a priest. If you take that, it doesn't belong to you. You're a thief. And so anyway, it just blessed my heart this week. And we had a tremendous online crowd every night this week. And it just really reinforced to me the value of social media in getting the word out. So, I mean, we're streaming now on Sermon Audio. We're streaming on Facebook. And we're also streaming to YouTube simultaneously. And what we're hoping is to get the word out to as many as we possibly can. It's not for the glory of Bethel Church. It has nothing to do with that. It is all about the glory of God and uplifting and magnifying His Word. And so, those of you that are online right now, I love you. I appreciate you. I thank God for you guys every day and for helping to make the things that we do here, for helping to make that possible. We'll be going to Kenya again toward the end of August. And so, just be praying about that. The plan is to visit both radio stations, the one in Samburu, the one in Turkana. I will be doing Pastor Mike Online live from Turkana. And if you can get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and see me, that'd be, I hope you could. Because it'd be noon there, about 4 o'clock in the morning here. And but anyway, that's the plan. And so we're going to have our yard sale, bake sale here at the church, May 18th and 19th. And everything that's taken in will go toward getting us to Kenya and getting us out to where the radio stations are. Once we get to Nairobi, that's only half the deal. We have to travel out to Samburu, back to Nairobi, travel out to Turkana, back to Nairobi, because that's where it's safe. And but I'm looking forward to it. I want to see firsthand what hath God wrought through the ministry of this church. And so I'll be taking lots of pictures, lots of video. Come back and let you know what God is. I'll come back and tell you how mad the Catholic Church is at us. Because they do not, you talk to Michael, they hate our guts over there. And what they're doing above and in front of the scenes is probably not even half of what they're trying to do behind the scenes to get us taken down over there. And so you just continually pray that God will continue to speak to those people through that radio station. God will move. God will save souls. And we'll find out all about it when we get to heaven. Amen? Amen. Who passed out DVDs this week? All righty. It's your church. It's your church. Okay? Look at the pews. Look at the people that's not sitting next to you this morning. Okay? We would like to have people come and sit in these pews. It's what we'd like. Am I right on that? Okay? It's your church. It is your pew to do something with. Think of it that way. You can either leave that pew blank, or you can do something to try to get someone to sit in that pew. It is up to you. Think of it as your church and your pew. Amen? I want to encourage you, not chastise you. I want to encourage you. Think about your church. Think about people that need to hear the gospel. And the only way that they're going to hear it is from you. You're the one that's going to be out there talking to people or handing people a DVD or whatever it is. You're the one that's out there doing it. So I just want to encourage you to fill your pew. Amen? Amen. All right. I got a special thing to do this morning, and I love doing it. Every year, when we have a young man or young lady graduating high school, we offer them a gift of the Word of God. This year, Cameron Pennington, come down here this morning. Come on. Is that a Cardinals baseball shirt you got on there? No? Never mind then. Congratulations, Cameron. We love you. Read that book all the days of your life. Amen. God bless you, son. We love you. Amen. Congratulations. Amen. Let's sing. Amen. Give me an hour to get there. Hang on one second here. There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whisper sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee. Peace be still. In all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. All my life was wrecked by sin and strife. Discord filled my heart with pain. Jesus wept across the broken strings. Stir the slumbering chords again. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Feasting on the riches of His grace, resting neath the sheltering wing. Always looking on His smiling face, that is why I shout and sing. Come on now. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Though sometimes He leads through waters deep, trials fall across the way. Though sometimes the path seems rough and steep, see His footprints all the way. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know.
my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Soon He's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown. I shall reign with Him on high. Now sing! Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
I don't know about you, I like that. Amen. Keeps me singing. What page?
331.
I got it.
My heart was distressed, neath Jehovah's dead frown, and low in the pit where my sins dragged me down. I cried to the Lord from the deep miry clay, who tenderly brought me out to golden day. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay. He puts a song in my soul today, a song of praise, hallelujah. He placed me upon the strong rock by His side. My steps were established, and here I'll abide. No danger of falling while here I remain, but stand by His grace until the crown I gain. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay. He puts a song in my soul today, a song of praise, hallelujah. 'Twas a new song of praise, by day and by night its sweet notes I will raise. My heart's overflowing, I'm happy and free. I'll praise my Redeemer who has rescued me. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay. He puts a song in my soul today, a song of praise, hallelujah. I'll sing of His wonderful mercy to me. I'll praise Him till all men His goodness shall see. I'll sing of salvation at home and abroad, till many shall hear the truth and trust in God. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay. He puts a song in my soul today, a song of praise, hallelujah.
Amen! You're not going to try to do a little dance on the steps there, J.R.? Huh? Not today? Not in your suit, huh? All right, I understand that. Well, has God been good to you? Amen. He's been good to me, better to me than I deserve. And it seems like I say the same thing every time I come up here, but it's worth saying. Okay? You give to God, not because you expect something out of Him. You give to God because He's already given it to you. How much is enough? You have a house to live in. You have clothes to eat. Food to wear. That is true with some of you. But you have it. And you have eternal life. No price on that. Okay? So this morning, take the time to tell God thank you for what He's given you, for what He's blessed you with. And then let God steer your heart about what to give to Him. Amen? So when we give, we do it because we love God. And we give not expecting anything back, We do it because we love God. We want Him to have just a portion. So you tell God thank you for what He's given you this morning. All right, Johnny, lead us in prayer, please, sir.
Given me to stand upon. Just thank you so much for Jesus. I know one day we get to see your face. Look forward to that. Just thank you for helping through all the trials that we have to go through. Just ask Father that you bless this offering, bless the work that needs to be done over in Kenya, the things that you do here. Broadcasting all the needs of the church, whatever more you may have, Father, for your kingdom in whatever way you will. We thank you and ask this blessing. Do pray for Pastor Mike and his sermon this morning. Give him the words that we need. Open up our ears, Father. We need that bread as well. We love you. All this, Lord Jesus Christ,
great
mighty name.
Amen.
The kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia.
Up on the screen.
Righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia.
Craig, have you got a word of testimony that you would like to share with Bethel Church this morning? I got you on my heart for some reason.
I got so much I never shut up.
All right. It's interesting, Alicia, that you picked that song. Look up on the screen. I was going to ask you to do that song for the offering, and I forgot. And the Lord laid it on her heart. And that's what we're going to preach this morning. So take your Bible, turn to Matthew. And you can go to Revelation 19. Or let's do Revelation 11. Let's go there. Revelation 11. Matthew 6, Revelation 11, and verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and forever." The 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, "We give Thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because Thou hast taken to Thee Thy great power and hast reigned." I want you to notice that portion of Scripture. "Thou hast taken to Thee Thy great power and hast reigned." And I will say to you this morning that wherever there is a place where God is not in charge, I promise you, God's going to take charge. Amen? Whoever is not yielding over to God's authority, God's going to take it. It's already His to begin with. And I want you to notice it was the seventh angel, because if you look over in Revelation 19, in verse 16, he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written. Count those words. There's seven. King of kings and Lord of lords. The number seven pertains to completion, perfection, or the end of things. And in that seventh angel sounding, the purpose of that seventh angel is to sound out that God's taken command. He's taken authority in every place where the devil has tried to steal away God's provincial authority, whatever area of somebody's life, whoever's life, whatever piece of ground, whatever thing in this world that the devil tries to command over or take charge of, at the sounding of the seventh angel, he becomes King of kings and Lord of lords, and God is going to take custody of everything. Amen? So, I mean, I'm just going to get right into it this morning. We're going to pray. Seek Matthew 6:33. Look at that verse. Let's say that out loud together. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Do you believe that? Father in heaven, help me to preach this message. Help me to do it in love. Help me to be kind. But Father, this is authority that we're dealing with. It's not mild suggestions. It's not helpful hints. It is authority. It is in every person's life. You are and must always be Lord. You must always be King. You must always be in supreme authority, and we must always yield to that authority. Father, if we are servants, if we are of your kingdom, then you are our God and we are your people and we are subject to you in everything, in every area of life. There is not one part of our life that we should take as ours and ours alone. It must be given over to you and yielded over to you. Father, I've learned by experience that this book is right. And the things, Father, that I tried to control, the things that I would not yield over to you, in those very things, I made the awfulest mess of everything. I ruined it. And Father, you've taught me in more than one occasion that I'm to yield things over to you and let you have control. Let you do what you do best. Because you never fail. You never make a mistake. You're always right in everything. And so, Father, I pray, dear God, you would forgive me of the sin of not turning everything over and letting you run it, letting you rule over it. Father, forgive us all of the sin of not letting you take control of our life. Father, embed this message into our hearts, into our minds. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would lead throughout the message. Father, that your hand would guide. And Lord, how could I preach a message on your authority if you don't have authority, if you're not in charge? So Father, I will gladly yield over to you and to the authority and the power of your word this morning. and let you do what it is that you want to do. Not what I want to do, not what I think should be done, but Lord, what you want to do. So Father, help us, dear God, as we hear your word. Let the Holy Ghost speak to us individually and together as a church on the places, Father, that we have not turned over to you. We've not yielded those things over to you. We've not given them to you. We're trying to hold on to it ourselves. We're trying to do it ourselves, Lord, out of fear, God, that it won't turn out how we want it. And Father, if we're going to be your people, we've at some point got to learn to trust you and trust that you'll be good to us and you'll do everything right. Father, bless your word today. Help me to preach this, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, Amen. In this verse, very simple. It's surrounded by a lot of things, but this is starting with Matthew chapter 5 into Matthew chapter 6 and so on. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. It is Jesus preaching and teaching, and He's taking people. Matthew is a transitional book. It is transitioning everybody away from the law to His grace. From what the Jews want everybody to see on the outside, Jesus is now taking that and turning it to the inside. You know where Jesus said, you've heard that thou shalt not commit adultery. And on the outside, it looks like, you know when people commit adultery, they hide it. They cover it up. So on the outside, you may never see that somebody is an adulterer. Because people cover it up and they make it look like we're all nice and clean and everything's fine. But Jesus said, but I say unto you that if a man look upon a woman to lust after her, he committed adultery with her already in his heart. Jesus is now taking that cover up on the outside, and He's going inwardly with it. And He said, you can make it look like you're following the law all you want to, but inwardly, you're full of adultery. And that's where you can hide it well, nobody can see it. But inwardly, in your heart, you are full of adultery. Those are the things that He's talking about in Matthew, the transition from the outer to the inward. You can make it look on the outside like God's in charge of everything. You can have a bumper sticker, God is my pilot, or whatever. But on the inside, God knows that you're not yielding. God knows that you haven't given Him control, that you're trying to steal away God's authority and God's power over your life. So He makes this simple statement, seek ye first the kingdom. Last week I talked about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And the book teaches us the manner of God's kingdom. And in this book, we're going to find out this morning what it is that must be given to God first and not last. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Christ could have left that little part of it out. Seek ye the kingdom of God, and then everybody would be fine with it. But He specifically said, first, the kingdom of God. And His righteousness, that means God's way of doing things, God's way of seeing things, what God says is right, is right. And what God says is wrong, is wrong. And it doesn't matter how you justify it, it doesn't matter how you twist it around, if God said this is right, then it's right. If God said this is wrong, then it's wrong. And it's just that simple. And what happens in our life is that and I know this, I get afraid that if I'm not in control of something, then it's not going to turn out right. That God, it's almost like I think God can't do everything. And it's wrong. I used to Sunday morning sermon was a near impossible thing for me to get through. Because I would be sick with where I'd be so worried, I'd be stuck in the bathroom while I had to come up here and preach. Sick to my stomach that the sermon wasn't going to turn out right. And God, it took years for God to say, Mike, I'm the preacher. You let me worry about what's said. You let me worry about the control of it. You let me worry about how it turns out at the end. You let me worry about what I'm going to do with people once it's preached. It's me, not you. And every preacher struggles with this issue of my preaching. Should I let God take control? Because we do. We think that if we don't preach it right and just say it just right, there's going to be a bomb and nobody's going to get blessed. Nobody's going to get anything out of it. Nobody's going to come to the altar. And I'm a big failure and I probably will resign first thing Monday morning. That happens in every preacher's mind and heart. Because we get afraid that if we don't control it and we don't manage the results, then the whole thing, then nothing's going to happen. And I'm still not done learning that lesson. Still not done. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. How many things will be added unto you? Amen? What I'm going to do is I'm going to take you a little course in the Bible. I'm going to move through these verses very fast. You can try to keep up with me if you want. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you from the Bible what God gets first. In Exodus 22, verse 29, thou shalt not delay to offer the first of thy ripe fruits and of thy liquors. What did God, when it came time for harvest, what did God get first? The first fruits. You know, what was that? That was, think of olive oil. The way you can get olive oil, you can get extra virgin olive oil, which is the very first pressing of olives. That's the good stuff. What comes after is not so great. It's not as good as the first pressing of the olives. And God said, the first press of the olives, that's mine. It's not yours. Don't take it. If you take it, you're stealing. So God said, the first of thy ripe fruits and of thy liquors, the firstborn of thy sons shalt thou give unto me. Likewise shalt thou do with thine oxen and with thy sheep. 7 days it shall be with his dam, and on the eighth day thou shalt give it me, and ye shall be holy men unto me, neither shall ye eat any flesh that is torn of beasts in the field. Ye shall cast it to the dogs. God said, I get the first of the ripe fruits, I get the first of your liquors, I get the first of thy sons, I get the first of your ox, I get the first of your sheep, I get the first ones are mine. So if you have a new a female lamb, and she has not given birth yet, but she gives birth, that first birth that she has is not yours. I don't care how good it looks. I don't care if you see that thing and say, boy, that's the county fair prize lamb right there. Boy, I can't wait to get money out of this one. It's not yours. That was to be yielded over. You were supposed to take that to the Levite priest and say, this is the first of this ewe lamb. This is her first birth. It belongs to the Lord. Not the second one. Not the third one. Not the last one. Exodus 13:2, sanctify unto me all the firstborn. Whatsoever openeth the womb among children of Israel, both of man and of beast. God said, it is mine. Now, did He make that clear? And what you won't give to God, who is it that in the 10th plague of Egypt, who was killed? Who died of the plague, the last plague? Who died? Firstborn. You know why? God said, it's mine. If you won't give it, I'll take it. Because you kept it, now you're stealing, and I said it was mine. There's a story in your Bible. A woman by the name of Hannah, who she was the second wife, Peninnah was the first one, and her husband Elkanah, I mean, he loved Hannah, but Peninnah was the one producing all the children, and she was jealous. And she went and sought out the Lord, and she cried before the Lord, God, give me a son, God, give me a child. And she made a promise to God, God, If you give me a child, as soon as he's weaned, I'll bring him to Eli the priest and he'll be yours. I'll give him to you. And so God did exactly that. And Hannah did exactly what she said she was going to do. And she brought little Samuel to the house of the Lord when he was weaned and said, "Here he is. He's yours now." And she walked away from her firstborn son. Ladies, can you imagine that? What did God do for her after that? God opened her womb, didn't He? Exodus 23:19. "The first of thy firstfruits of thy land thou shalt bring into the house of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not see the kid in his mother's milk." But he said, "The first of the firstfruits." The first cherries off the cherry tree. The first apples. The first oranges. The first bananas. The first of the wheat. The first of the firstfruits. That you bring it to the house of the Lord. Exodus 22:29. Look at this. "Thou shalt not delay to offer of the first of thy ripe fruits." See, God is about timing, is He not? If you go pick the first of the first fruits, you set it in a basket, and then you go about doing your other things, you violated the intention of God. God said, "Don't delay to bring it. I want it first. Before you do anything else, I want it first." Are you catching this from God? Leviticus 12:6. "When the days of her purifying are fulfilled for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring a lamb of the first year." Notice that God, even with a lamb, you were not allowed to wait to pick a lamb of a 2-year-old lamb, a 3-year-old lamb, a 4-year-old lamb. No, God said, "I want a lamb of the first year, the first things, including time." Including time. Belong to God. Does He make that clear to you? Not yet. We're not done. Leviticus 23:4. "These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their seasons. In the 14th day of the first month, at even, is the Lord's Passover." Now think about the fulfillment of Passover. Christ was the fulfillment. Christ Himself was the firstborn of Mary. Not the second, not the third, not way on down the line. Christ was the firstborn. He opened the womb of Mary. Christ is the only begotten of the Father, which places Him first. We also become sons of God by the new birth, but we're not first. We do not hold the place of what is first. When a blessing was given by a father to his children, who got the greater blessing? Firstborn. You can be jealous of that all you want to. That's how God gave it out. The firstborn, the firstborn, the firstborn. Because what's first belongs to God. Numbers chapter 15. "The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and said unto them, When ye come into the land whither I bring you, then it shall be, when ye eat of the bread of the land, ye shall offer up an heave offering unto the Lord. Ye shall offer up a cake of the first of your dough." The first of your dough. "For a heave offering, as you do the heave offering of the threshing floor, so shall ye heave it. Of the first of your dough, ye shall give it unto the Lord, an heave offering in your generations." What belongs to the Lord? First. The first of the dough. God's picky, isn't He? What I'm showing you is, from the Bible, there is not an area of your life where you get to put God any place other than first. Not one place. Numbers 18:13. "Whatsoever is first ripe in the land, which thou shalt bring unto the Lord, shall be thine. Everyone that is clean in thine house shall ye eat of it." The first ripe of the land belongs to the Lord. 1 Kings chapter 17. Turn there. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 17. I'm going to show you a story. Of seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Remember, there is a picture in the Bible of every doctrine. And if God would do it for this one little widow woman, how much more ye who are the children of God? Do you think God, listen to me now, do you think God, who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, would let His children starve if He has a house of plenty? No. He's going to bless you. He's going to give you. I mean, Hannah gave one child. How many children did she have after that? She had a bunch of them. In other words, she gave God one. God gave her way more than one back. Job lost everything. And if you read the book of Job, Job got double back what he had at the first. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 10. She arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." Now you look at this. Here, this, think of, who is this, Elijah? Yeah, think of Elijah as Christ. Think of Elijah as Christ. So he said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat it and die." Because there was a famine in the land. She had enough meal and enough oil. What she was doing, she was going to make cakes and fry them. Fried bread. I love it. She's going to make fried dough, and her son were going to eat it, and then they were just going to wait to starve to death. Because that's all she had. Now you look at what the man of God said to her. Verse 13. Elijah said unto her, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake when?" First, "and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. She and he and her house did eat how long? Many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to your Bible, the word of the Lord, which He spake by Elijah. Here is a story here. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. She made one cake, gave it to the man of God first. She then became the wealthiest woman in that town. She never ran out of wheat or meal. She never ran out of oil. She was, making cakes and just making more cakes. "Ma, you got any more of them cakes?" "Sure, son, how many you want?" I picture him as like the Hungry Jack guy. That big, big, tall guy. "Hungry Jack, you want some more biscuits?" "Yeah, Ma, you got any more biscuits?" She never ran out of biscuits for that boy. Why? First. Mark chapter 12. One of the scribes came, and you look at your Bible. One of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" The first commandment. We're fixing to look at that, but the first commandment, Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength." How many things is left out there? I don't see anything, do you? He said, all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. Four things. This is the first commandment. The second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. But what is the first commandment? Love. Love. And you listen to me. When you love God, He'll know it. Because you'll give first to God, and you won't be thinking, I hope this is enough to make God give me some more money. If you write the last check you've got and give it to God because you love Him, God will know that you really love Him. Now, how often do I make things that I preach about money? Almost never. But I am going to talk about it. You remember the widow who had one penny. She put it in. And what did Jesus say? She gave greater than anybody else because she gave all that she had. I just imagine she went home and put on an old coat, reached down in there and found 1,000 pennies in there. Where did that come from? Or something. God blessed her. I guarantee you God blessed her. I guarantee you He did. She did not give in order to get 1,000 pennies. This is not your slot machine. This is you saying, God, I love you. And I'm going to give. No matter what I have left, I'm going to give. That's how God will know whether or not you really love Him or not. With all your... How does it say? With all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. That doesn't leave anything out for you. It is about God and only God. In Acts chapter 20, and upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them. What day of the week? John chapter 20, verse 1, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was dark, yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. What day of the week? 1 Corinthians 16:2, and upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. What day of the week? First day of the week. So you tell me what day belongs to God. Even John, in exile on the Isle of Patmos, Revelation chapter 1 says, I, John, was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He was having church and there wasn't nobody else around. He was having church when there was no church. Amen? So I'm going to ask you a question. I don't want you to answer. When you go out of town, when you go on vacation, and you're gone on a Sunday, do you still worship God even if there's nobody around? You have to answer that to yourself and before God. Because if you don't, you stole God's day. And you took it to yourself. Am I right on that? You stole God's day. That day, because it's the first day of the week, Christ died, rose again, and He picked the first day of the week to do it. That day is God's day. And when you do something other than worship God on His day, you stole that from God. Acts chapter 26, verse 22. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continued unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none of the things in those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that He should be the first that should rise from the dead. Christ was the first to rise from the dead. You know what that displays? that we can follow Him in rising from the dead. And He did it on the first day of the week. That day bears significance. It's God's day. 1 Corinthians 15. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits. Who comes first? Christ. Revelation 1:5, Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead. Who comes first? Jesus does. Revelation 1:17, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. Revelation 22:13, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. So when you seek God and His righteousness, you are seeking Christ who is first. So my question to y'all is God first? Is Christ first? In all your mind, all your soul, all your strength, I probably got them all wrong, there's four things there, but is Christ always first? And here's something interesting. The word king is found exactly with a capital K 70 times in the King James Bible. Woo! The phrase kingdom of God 70 times in the King James Bible. Daniel chapter 9, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. And there's seven things that God's going to do. Seven is God's number, right? For completion, for perfection. On the seventh trumpet, He is King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen. So now turn to the 70th chapter of your Bible. That would be Exodus 20. I want you to look at what's in the 70th chapter of your Bible. Exodus 20. You know I don't like preaching stuff like this. Because it's almost like I have to scold people. And I don't like doing that. I don't like having to say things to God's people. I would rather you have liberty and figure things out on your own. But the job of the preacher is that he has to say things. He has to wake people up. That means wake up, church. Wake up. This is the first day of the week. What is it that you have that you put in place of God on His day? So what is in the 70th chapter of the Bible? And God spake all these words saying, did you know those seven words? Verse 1, did you know there's seven words there? God spake all these words saying. Now, I want to ask you a question. Who believes verse 1? Who believes that God spake all those words? And the very first thing that He said is, I am the Lord, thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. You know what the word before means? Here's God standing, and He's supposed to be what number? And then you put something or somebody in front of God. Now God is not first. So let me wake you up to something. Knowing the nature of God. God is either going to be first in your life or He's not going to be in your life. Period. You show me a place where God sits second. or third, or fourth, or fifth. Show it to me in the Bible. Show me where God is in some other position than first. And I'm saying again, God and His ways and His works and His will is either first in your life or He's not there. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. I'm a jealous God. You remember when we was in school and the teacher said, line up everybody. And we all just about beat the snot out of kids to get to be first. Or that, at least that was me for lunch. And when somebody got first ahead of us, it made, listen, I'm still that way. There's a little stretch of highway called, we call it New 21. Runs from A highway to B highway, and it's only about 2.5 miles long. And when I get on that thing, it makes me mad when somebody gets in front of me in that little stretch. And I hit the gas. Listen, so what are you doing? Nothing. But in my heart, I'm going, I ain't letting them be first. That's in my nature. Listen to me. It is in my nature to want to be first all the time. And that is not my place. Isaiah 42:8, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Are you seeing that? Who's first? God is. God's glory is. God's kingdom, God's righteousness is first. And He will not allow anybody or anything to be first ahead of Him. He will not do it. Ezekiel 28:2, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God. I sit in the seat of God, and the seat of God is first. And you, listen to me, you try to put yourself in that seat. The other God that is before God is you. And Luke said, I sit in the seat of God in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man. And not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. Isaiah 14, hast thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down the ground which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. That's you. That's you. Putting yourself, you little Lucifer, you little devil, putting yourself and your needs and your desires ahead of God. And God knows it. And I'm telling you, what you won't yield to give to God first, He'll take it. How many years did Judah sit in Babylonian captivity? 70 years. You know why? God said, I'm going to fulfill my Sabbath. That Sabbath was the Lord's day. And they had spent all those years not giving God's day over to God. And so you know what God did? God took it. God took it, run them out of their own houses, their own land. They lost everything. God will take what you will not give. Am I right? What God gets, first day of the week. God gets first day of the week. Now I'm going to say this. I'm going to give a little grace with the justice. You need to read your Bible during the day. Is that correct? Do you believe in daily Bible reading? I didn't say, did you practice daily Bible? I said, do you believe in daily Bible reading? But then ask the question, do you practice it? And what happens is, We get toward the end of the day and we think, oh, I forgot to read the Bible. God should get the first hour. The first of your time. God should get the first day and the first of your time. God should get the firstborn of your children. God should get the first fruits. What does that mean? It means, I want to tell you something. I think the United States government is going to pay God back for everything they stole. Because when you were handed a paycheck, it wasn't your hourly wage, was it? What was gone from it? Withholding taxes. Who got the first of it? Government did. There ain't nothing you can do about that legally. So what I'm going to say to you is, after you get that paycheck, who gets the first check off of that deposit? God should. You know how many times I've heard, well, we were going to pay tithes, but we just didn't have any more money. That's your fault right there. There's your problem right there. Because you waited and gave it to God last. And all of a sudden then you didn't have it. You, listen to me, you stole that from God. You say, I don't believe in that. Well, Malachi, God said, will a man rob God? Will a man rob God? And then what did He say? You've robbed me in tithes and offerings. Now you guys know I don't make every sermon about tithing. Every now and then, I got to preach it. I don't look to see who gives and who doesn't. That is not my bit. You ask Rose. I don't look when they're taking up the offering. I'm busy up here doing something else other than watching who's giving in the plate and who doesn't. I don't watch you. But there is somebody who does. And what you don't give first, I promise you, God will take. You'll have to pay a dentist, and that dentist is a godly man. You owe a car bill, and that mechanic goes to church. And I guarantee you, he's going to pay on that. And you lost it. And it's just how it works. But you stole from God. You stole His day. You stole His money. You stole His child. You stole His time when you did not give it first. I have to say those things. I'm not going to beat you over the head with it. I'm not going to keep going Sunday after Sunday until I get results. That's not my place. I leave that up to God. God's either going to change you or He's not based upon what He wants out of you. But I'm the one that's going to tell you this day does not belong to you. You being in church today, God bless you for it. Because it is His day and His alone. So I want you to bow your heads. I'm not gonna. If you want to come, I'm gonna let you do it. If God's dealing with your heart, you want to come pray. I'm all for it. But I'm not trying to preach you down to the altar this morning. I'm trying to convince you of what so many people in this church have already found out the hard way. We found out the hard way that what we don't give to God first, We're not going to hold on to it. We're going to lose it. And you listen to God this morning. Don't listen to me. You listen to God. And you let God talk to you about what you decided to hold from Him, what you didn't give to Him, what you held back from Him. You let God talk to you about that. And then you let God make the changes in your life that need to be changed. I can't make those changes.